What are some of civilization's bottlenecks? What are some of its limiting factors, like transportation networks, oil, industrial diamonds? So many industrial processes require industrial diamonds. For example, in World War II, the Nazi war machine would have ground to a halt pretty quickly had they not been able to smuggle lots of industrial diamonds out of South Africa. And I mean, isn't that a good thing to actually be able to stop the Nazis through a fairly simple means of stopping that one resource? Anyway, what are some of the objects or processes that, if interdicted, could cause civilization to grind to a halt? Similarly, where can we find fulcrums, pivot points to magnify our efforts? Where do we put the levers? What do we use for fulcrums? How and when and how hard do we push to help topple this culture of death? Are these fulcrums psychological? I hear all the time that it would do no good to take out dams, for example, because that would leave intact the mindset that leads to their erection in the first place. We need to change hearts and minds, I'm told, and once these hearts and minds have been changed, everything else will fall into place. Civilization will disappear because people are no longer insane enough to want it. But maybe the question's too vague. Whose hearts and minds are we trying to reach? Where do we place our efforts in changing hearts and minds to achieve the most effect? Is it among the politically and economically powerful? Is it among the mass of Americans? Is it among the disaffected? Is it among the poor? Is it among the so-called criminal classes? Is it among the cops and the military? These latter, after all, have a lot of guns. Where will we achieve the most good? Are the fulcrums spiritual? People value what they consider sacred. They sacralize what they value. Perhaps we should attempt to desacralize power for power's sake. Perhaps we should attempt to break down the divine right of science, the divine right of corporations, the divine right of production, the divine right of nation states. Perhaps we should attempt to help people to remember that spiders who live in their bathrooms are sacred, as are salmon who spawn in rivers outside their homes, plants who push up through sidewalks, salamanders who live high in the hollows of ancient redwoods. Their own bodies are sacred, their own experiences, their own sexuality, their own flesh, free from industrial carcinogens. Where do we place the levers, the fulcrums, to help people remember that they are humans living in a land base, that they're animals? Are these fulcrums personal, such that, like Hitler, the removal of this or that person will make a tangible difference? World War II was almost prevented by one person, George Elser. He was a trade unionist who didn't like what Hitler was doing to the trade unions. And so he attempted to kill him. And he got a job in a mine so he could steal some explosives. And he then snuck every night into a restaurant where Hitler was going to give a speech. And he hollowed out a space behind the column in front of which Hitler would give the speech and put the bomb there. And the bomb was set to go off at a certain time, about two-thirds of the way through Hitler's speech. And the only reason it didn't work is because it was foggy and Hitler couldn't fly out on his airplane. So he had to leave on a train, which meant he had to go according to the train schedule, which meant that he gave his speech an hour early. The plane blew up about 10 minutes after Hitler left. The bomb blew up 10 minutes after Hitler left and killed a bunch of high-ranking Nazi officials. The point is that everybody who studies World War II understands that if Hitler had died in 1939, which is when this took place, World War II would not have happened. And so one person by himself almost stopped Hitler. I'm not suggesting, by the way, I want to be very clear, I'm not suggesting that people figure out where Donald Trump is going to be giving a speech and sneak in there every night. I'm not suggesting that at all. The power structure is different. It's not such a fulcrum in the United States. The problem is not one person as it was with Hitler. It was one person was magnifying and capturing the essence of National Socialism in a way that, and propelling it in a way that we don't see in other power structures. Anyway, so are the fulcrums personal, such that, like Hitler, the removal of this or that person will make a tangible difference? Would it help the redwoods and workers of Northern California to make sure that Charles Hurwitz, CEO of Maxam, doesn't damage them from his high-rise home in Houston, Texas? If so, where and how and when do we act in this way? In cases where it's not the individual CEO, but the position, where social framing conditions make it so that most people who would take up that position share the same deadened worldview that would cause them to commit the same atrocities, where then do we place the levers and fulcrums? Do we go CEO to CEO, removing them one by one? We always hear that the machine-like characteristics of corporations mean that CEOs are simply cogs, albeit large ones, in these community-destroying institutions. And so it would do no good to remove them. It's an odd argument to make, even when I make it myself, sent it a few pages ago. There are a few who suggest that simply because arresting or killing one rapist doesn't stop other men from raping, this means we should stop whatever rapists we can through any means necessary. Yet when it comes to CEOs, the argument seems to hold. Someone else will just take this one's place. So we must not stop this one personally. In fact, we must allow him to continue to be rewarded with millions of dollars per year in salaries and stock options. Where are the fulcrums to stop these people, these institutions? Where are the bottlenecks? You know, I just was talking to somebody a couple days ago who is an industry insider who says that if he could change one thing about basically American law, what he would do is get rid of publicly owned companies. Because once a corporation is publicly owned as opposed to personally owned, then it is required by law to maximize revenue for the stockholders. And that creates, as soon as, if there is a person who runs a company, they can try to do the best they can for the world within the context of this horrible capitalist system. But if it's publicly owned, then they no longer have that option. Anyway, so perhaps the fulcrums are social. Perhaps instead of, or in addition to, removing individual CEOs, we need to change social institutions that themselves amplify the destructive efforts of these individuals. Charles Hurwitz does not kill redwoods by cutting them down. He kills them by ordering them cut down, or even more abstractly, by ordering someone to maximize profits. Are there counter levers we can use to pry his levers of power? Are there social means by which we can do that? Or perhaps, as was also true of the Nazis, some of these fulcrums are infrastructural. John Muir is famously noted as saying, God has cared for these trees, saved them from drought, disease, avalanches, and 1,000 tempests and floods, but he cannot save them from fools. The thing is, a fool couldn't cut down trees by him or herself. I used to think that we were fighting an incredibly difficult battle, in part because it takes 1,000 years of living to make an ancient tree. Well, any fool can come along with a chainsaw and cut it down in an hour or two. I've since realized that's all wrong. The truth is that thriving on a living planet is easy. The whole forest, for example, conspires to grow that tree and every other. We don't have to do anything special except leave it alone. Well, cutting down a tree is actually a very difficult process involving the entire global economy. I wouldn't care how many ancient redwoods Charles Hurwitz cut down if he did it all by himself, scratching pathetically with bloody nails at bark, gnawing with bloody teeth at heartwood, sometimes picking up rocks to make stone axes. To cut down a big tree, you need the entire mining infrastructure for the metals necessary for chainsaws, or 100 years ago, whipsaws, the entire oil infrastructure for gas to run the chainsaws, and for trucks to transport the dead trees to market where they'll be sold and shipped to some distant place. Once Charles had downed the tree by himself, I'd wish him luck transporting it without the assistance of the global economy. And so on. It takes a whole lot of fools to cut down a tree, and if we break the infrastructural chain at any point, they won't be able to do it. The same is true for the rest of this culture's destructive activities, from vivisection to factory farming to vacuuming the oceans to paving the grasslands to irradiating the planet. Every one of this economy's destructive activities requires immense amounts of energy and worldwide economic, infrastructural, military, and police support to accomplish. If any one of these supports fail, I want to emphasize, if any one of these supports fail, the destructive activities will be curtailed. Where do we place our levers? Or maybe the fulcrums are all of the above. Maybe changing people's hearts has a place. Maybe so do all the others. And maybe we should pursue them all according to our gifts, proclivities, and opportunities. The bottom line so far is fulcrums and bottlenecks. What will it take to stop this culture of death before it kills the planet?